everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another exciting episode of the Iconist Podcast. Like usual, I'm one of your hosts, Barry 3D, you know, for deep, dark, and delicious. Hey, you're welcome. On my side, as always, the man, the myth, the legend who's got you dancing all night long. My man, all my night. Cousin, the one and only.
All night.
Rod C. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode. We got something for you. We got something for you. As yes, you can see, we have... Oh, no, I'm not going to say anything else. No, no.
All right,
I will not say.
And like, and like usual, we are joined by good friend, man of mystery. We don't know much about his background because he gives off different vibes, so he's deep. The one and only Mr. Larry Reclusado.
Hey, all guys. Right.
And Larry, let them know the page they can find you on.
Forgotten, obscure, and underrated comic characters on Facebook. We got about 30,000 members right now. And when we get to 40,000, I need to add another moderator. So...
I love the laugh. So, yes, please, join the Facebook page. It's down below in the links. And remember, be respectful. It's all about comics. So let's have a good time because this is what we're all here for. We don't need to be, you know, you can argue your opinion, but with class. Okay.
Thank you.
On that, Larry's turned around and he brought up a subject that kind of got us thinking, right? So before we get into that, this is what we're going into today. So first and foremost, manners maketh the man. So if you want to start a comic book selection, you don't know where to go, then for our friends out in Kitchener, please check out Wow Comics. Tell Wes and the guys we said hi. For our friends out in Cambridge, check out A Hero's Tale with Andrew and the guys. Tell them we said hi. And for our friends out in Montreal, please go to Check Swings and tell Trevor and the guys that we said hi. You can't go wrong. Best place to continue, start, or just hang out. Hang out. Support the books, because without the books, we wouldn't be here. All right? There we go. I know it seems to be a dying industry, but don't let it disappear like the dodo. So a lot of history. Get your back issues. On top of that, remember, I'm also part of another comedy group, which is A Touch of Grey Matter, and that's myself, Dave Sokolowski, Zolf Ali. Keep an eye out for us. We do stuff individually and together, and we do some fundraisers too, so it's always good to give back and to find a way to laugh and give back at the same time. Right on. And then on top of it, you can find all my stuff at Barry3D.com. That is my website, Colonel Furry. Barry3D.com. That is my website. Look it up. You can find out where I'm going to be live or what's coming up next. Try to keep it going. And, you know, just for fun, we started a WhatsApp channel. Why not? So, you know, join. Let's see what we can do with that and see if we can make that grow. And if you, too, want to do a podcast, go to Podbean. We're on Podbean, right? And that's it's cheap. It's well-versed. You can have a catalog of all your stuff, and you, too, can have a voice. Before I go on, Rod. Where can we find you?
As I say, you can find me on the World Wide Web. You can find me on Instagram. Wah, 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 wah. Mr. Rod C. You can find me on Twitch.tv. DJ Rod C. You can find me in the world of TikTok at DJ Rod C1. That's DJ Rod C1. The number one. Oh, we'll just say it like that. I'm just going to stop right there. Copyright it. Get myself in trouble. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Oh boy. That's another conversation.
That's right. And last but not least, if you need to have any kind of graphic artist working on any of your projects, regardless of what it is, from live to digital media, there's one man and one man only you should be reaching out to, and that is the one and only Mr.
Jason Reed, aka J Bird Digital Art.
Mr. Jason Reese, J Bird Digital Arts, you tell him that you heard about him on the Iconist podcast, and he will give you a discount off the work needed. And of course, you can reach out to him worldwide, and he'll get that work to you worldwide. Internet is awesome. All right. On that note, brings us down to the topic of today that Rod has named. What do you call it, Rod?
What did I name this? No, honestly, I didn't name it. It was Larry. Did I name it?
Called it. You called it Powers and Psyche.
Oh, yes. No, I thought that came from Larry. See?
There you go.
This conversation came from me. Great. Power and Psyche.
That was you. Mine was the Psychology of Gamma.
That's psychology, right. And see, that's Larry's Psychology of Gamma.
And Sama, and I said, "Power and psyche."
Right, and you just labeled this particular thing powers and psyche, and I like so powers of the psychology of Gamma. Because Larry, in our last episode, kind of hinted on this, and then after we went off the air, he mentioned and he had a thought on this, and I'm like, "Yo, that is amazing!" So, I'm gonna turn this one over to you, Larry. Just give us a little bit of background of your thoughts, and let's dive into some of this because I thought it was something that needs to be talked about. So, Mr. Right. Larry Reclusato, kick it off, or AKA Colonel.
The floor is yours. The floor is yours,
Carter. This is your point
two
that Dr. Sampson came up with. I'm going to go over four characters with you. My Dr. Sampson's theory, and then I'm going to send you out to interview him, or you can bring up other characters you might want to interview. You ready? We're going to start right from the beginning. Bruce Banner. So, why does Bruce Banner turn into an angry Hulk? Well, let's look at his background. And this is all subconscious, we think. So Bruce Banner is a split personality, or disassociative, as they say now. I'm old. And anyway, and he was an abused child. So he needed a protector. So he created the Hulk. Angry, protective, childlike. There you go. Now, then we jump to Samuel Stearns, the leader. Why is this guy super intelligent? Well, this guy's super intelligent because he was envious of his older brother, who was a research scientist on Gamma Base. He wanted to be as intelligent as him, at least, or more intelligent. So what does he do? He ends up going into a Gamma waste area and gets mutated into the leader. Next, we have Emil Bronsky, Russian spy, wants to be more powerful than the Hulk, wants to be the most powerful character he can be. What does he turn into? The Abomination. Scary, mad monster. But he still retains his intelligence. And lastly, Doc Samson himself. Well, envious of the Hulk, steals the Hulk's gamma radiation, and with the subconscious, what's his last name? Samson. There's your hair thing. The longer his hair grows, stronger he gets. So, those are the theories Doc Samson came up with those for. Who else you guys got?
Wow. There's so much. And I want to jump back for half a second before we move a little bit forward. So let me jump back. Because that's really interesting. So for the Hulk, let's go back. So the Hulk, which is the first one you mentioned, Dr. Bruce Banner, right?
Yep.
You're saying that his psyche is because he was an abused child. This was a protector. But because he's an abused child, that persona formed as a child, henceforth why Hulk speaks the way he does. I'm talking classic Hulk. So Hulk Smash, Hulk Hungry, Puny Human, Leave Hulk Alone. Those are the phrases we always, Hulk Angry, you know. So he talks like a child. So that, to me, shows the level of abuse, how early it started in his life. Right. He wasn't a full-formed, let's say, 13-year-old, or because a 13-year-old wouldn't speak that way. That's more maybe anyone from, you know, maybe a 4 to 8-year-old.
Five. Right? Yeah. Right.
Five. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. So do you really think that the gamma radiation, and we're going to get into this more, I love this topic, is the gamma radiation, it just brings out certain elements of how their psyche, ego, id, for my lack of understanding of all of that, because, you know, you've studied it more than I have, obviously, Larry, has worked into these characters? And do you think this was an intentional creation, or was this more they created the character and then it kind of went back to add some more layers as time went on?
I think that I'm not going to say Stan, because this seems more like a Kirby Ditko type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had that in the back of their minds when they created the characters. We know that Stan wanted to Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes.
But Stan never said anything about the childlike persona.
Right.
I think that was more Kirby and Ditko and the rest of the guys, because as you know, Stan usually, the way he came up with stuff is, he'd stop guys in the hallway, hey, here's an idea, go take care of it.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
And then he left the deep thinking, that the think tank, to pretty much come up with the Laird backstory that still carries up to today, from the creation of the character up to today. It didn't get dated. You know, unfortunately, there's still these negative influences within the world, right? You know,
right.
So it's very tangible for anyone to read the Hulk and say, I want to be protector. I can understand more from maybe certain aspects of their lives are coming up, you know, why this would kind of connect to certain people. So that's what I thought was interesting. And that Bruce Banner, who is a genius, you find out, like, later on, he gets more as the time goes on. I think it was Dale, I forget my pronunciation, Dale Conan, the Quinnen, that was writing him at one point. Yeah. And he really got in when Hulk joined the Pantheon. So they had, like, you know, you had Gray Hulk, because when he first came out, he was gray, and that was more, I think, a coloring error when they started making him green. And then he was only coming out at night, when it was a, you know, at night's time or a full moon, almost like a werewolf kind of thing. But he's still the childlike person. And then the Green Hulk, which was taller, bigger, you know, still. So the Gray Hulk was smarter. The Gray Hulk did form full sentences. You can have a conversation with the Gray Hulk.
Right.
Green Hulk was very childlike. And then they merged them to make, you know, Smart Hulk. So he was fully Bruce Banner, taller, a little bit cocky. And that's when he joined that Pantheon at one point, right? Unless he came up before. So that's my lack of knowledge there. And I'm open to saying, hey, I don't know everything.
Right.
But it's funny that Bruce Banner split these characters all up to have different personas. And then in his psyche, Bruce Banner is still there.
Right.
And he thinks he's weak, but then sometimes he gets stronger, and they actually draw it out where you see Bruce Banner punching out the Hulk in his mind, because he is the strongest there is. Right. It's just he doesn't believe it.
Well, he's a dissociative disorder.
Right.
And Bruce Banner is the main psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else are what they call fragments.
Right.
Now,
right.
I know a little bit about dissociative disorder, as I was engaged to someone who had 22 fragments. Yeah, that was heck. And one of the best ways, I think it's issue 7 or 8 of Immortal Hulk.
Right.
They get into all the various Hulk personas. And there's actually a scene in there where there's a discussion going on, mainly between the Hulk that's working in the working personality, the one that's the main star of Immortal Hulk, more or less, that persona, and Bruce. And you have this whole background and landscape that's kind of in his head. Now, one of the ways my former fiance explained how her personalities would interact is, there was a movie theater in her head. So they could interact there. They could watch what's going on, unless one of them was guarding. And they would, like, keep that particular personality out because they were scared of something. Another good take on that is Crazy Jane in the Doom Patrol, the Underground.
Right.
So this is ever there. Each dissociative person has a different thing, but they have a place they can do this. And
right.
There's your multiple Hulks. When they want to interact, they can. They just prefer not to because they hate each other. But yeah.
Which is cool. It, in the sense, I mean, for storytelling, it's cool. That's what I mean. I mean, let me get it straight. For storytelling, it makes it cool. It gives layers to the character, opens the audience to that.
Right.
For one, if someone comes with a good storyline, there's always, per se, another Hulk that could be forming, looming there in the background that hasn't come forward yet. And then the other aspect of it, I would say the Hulk, Bruce Banner, is also a candidate for mental health. We talk about mental health, especially with COVID and everything coming up. Mental health has been brought really to the forefront. You know, a lot of companies now have recognized it, see the effects, you know, and we're seeing more and more on it. And it's more free out there. It's not so much of you can't talk to anybody about it, or you have to deal alone. You know, if you know someone dealing with mental health, please reach out, make sure that they are supported, make sure that they have support there. They might not be able to take that first step, but you can take the first step for them and with them. With them is the important thing, not force them to do it, right? You know, don't want to cause any more anguish for anyone. But Bruce Banner is pretty much, you could say, almost a poster child for mental health, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And you really, along your time, I hope that you'll put a link to the National Health Association there, because they're very good to help you out. And if you're dealing with somebody who's having mental issues, look into getting some help yourself. Get some support.
Right. Because we also know the caretakers, too, that take care of the people around them also go through their own level of stress. So, wow, this is heavy, as the saying goes, but it's good to talk about it. And this is what I wanted to show. And this is why I like comic books, because at times people think comic books are just pow, zap, bam, people in colorful costumes. But if you take away that and you read the storytelling that is there, you're going to get touched. Exactly. It's going to tell you something. It's there. This is why it connects, right? It's not just what we see on the screens on the MCU and fighting gods from outer space. It's just how it plays out in the mind. That's why I was like really adamant about wanting to, you know, when you brought it up, I was very excited because I said we should have these tough conversations, but still, you know, put it out there and within the medium. So it's great. You can always find these things to connect with wherever you look. Just gotta look. So that to me is, that's cool, because even Bruce Banner, and we'll talk later, you know, he had Doc Samson that he was talking to as his therapist. He Bruce Banner understands he needed therapy. The writers knew this is what they were setting up within this world of the Hulk. He's got trauma. He's got a therapist. And he was pretty much, we're watching as fans, you know, we're readers, we're reading his tales of him going to therapy. If Bruce Banner can go to therapy, then don't be shy. There we go. Awesome. Right. And what's your thoughts on that, Rod? I know it's pretty deep, but what's your thoughts?
No. It was good. I mean, the whole thing, I liked the fact that we're now looking at it from a different point of view. And that was the one thing that definitely, when Larry brought this up last week and we're all talking, it just kind of like, I kept saying, it's like, it's a different point of view of associating gamma radiation, at least in the Marvel Universe aspect of it, how that is actually able to pull on saying that different psyche characteristics, or not characteristics, but psyche, is what creating these other individuals and what's creating, you know, giving them part of their powers in that sense. Finding out about Bruce, you're absolutely correct. Bruce has, Bruce Banner has a lot of different personalities. I do remember the time when Joe Fixit came into play. Yep. Joe Fixit to me was like the ultimate baller, like taking no from nobody and just laying down the rules and like, yeah, I'm here. I'm the heavy hand. I don't think you want to play with me. I got no time for you. Braps. And just what? Not hitting as abusive, like say, listen, I'm here to protect this person. I'm hired for Vegas. He was in Vegas, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. So he was in Vegas. And again, it was, and even if I remember correctly, Joe Fixit, again, disliked Bruce as a second personality, like thinking, the daylight is coming. I'm now going to lose. I'm now going to, you know, disappear and leave. Very upsetting, but he was very conscious of it and know that it wasn't like I have to be calmed down type of scenario like Green. He knew that at least for his particular transformation, his transition was basically based upon the lunar calendar And that's a very another interesting thing that maybe we'll get into. But it was it was nice having understanding that the different personalities, and we definitely will break into it, understanding that, hey, there's a lot of things that, like you said, Ditko and Kirby put in from the beginning. I will agree with you, Larry, like, again, until you start, we start talking about it, or I think I might have mentioned it last week. Someone had to at least put that as a seedling of an idea to grow off of. Like you said, Stan will say, this is what I want. Excelsior, make it so. I'm going down the street to get coffee. Okay. And then we got to work on the backstory. So, yeah. So I'm like, I'm okay, no problem. I make it so. Engage, number one. Yeah. So, sorry, too many Johns going on. I apologize.
That's fine.
But yeah, that's how I look at it.
Right. And see, now you said something else that's really interesting, right? Like, just quickly, a bulb in my mind. So you're talking about Joe Fix It. Joe Fix It came out. And I remember reading that whole run with Joe Fix It, and especially when Todd McFarlane was drawing it. I was all into that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the Gray Hulk saga. Okay. The Lunar Candler did affect his mood of if he was more nastier, if he was nicer. And there was one beautiful panel in there where he's, you know, Betty Ross is talking to Bruce Banner, right? About the relationship and how things are going to go forward. And she's standing there as a pillar. And she's like, nope, I'm done running. I'm waiting. And Bruce is like, no, it's coming night. And, you know, he's coming. I can't stop him. She's like, I don't care. I'll wait until his other persona came out. And then she had a very in-depth conversation, stern. So she's in front of this Hulk, literally, Mr. Fix-It. And she's right.
Yeah. Speaking of Betty, I definitely hope we get to her first gamma transformation.
Yes. I got a theory. And we will put a pin in that. Hold on a second, Larry. We're coming right back to that. So she talks to him, figures that out with Joe Fix It. So here's my last part on this. And then she has a relationship or an understanding with Joe Fix It and Bruce Banner so they can all coincide. So she can have somewhat of a relationship finally with Bruce Banner. And she realized she has to have a relationship with both. And when I say relationship, I'm talking like a mental understanding that she realized she's in a love triangle. Regardless, one body, but it's represented as two, right? And she understands that. Now, my point I'll leave with this one with the Hulk is, no matter how we read the Hulk, keep in mind, like you kind of mentioned too, Larry, and what you said, Rod, that Bruce Banner is still behind the wheel. Because think of it this way. That out of all the Hulks, physically wise, Joe Fix-It is the weakest one out of the Hulks, physically wise, I'm talking. And Bruce Banner gave the one with the most devious mindset less physical power, because if Joe Fix-It had the strength level of the Green Hulk, things would be different.
Until you get to the Hulk.
He almost put limits on that Hulk. Like, this one could think a certain way. He's up there. He's really intelligent. I can't let him have that physical power, so we're going to put you down a couple of notches. But the one that's childlike is, because he's childlike, is not going to attack anybody unless someone attacks him. So let me play with the power scales like a DJ going back and forth with the level and the trebles, saying,
yep,
That's my last point there.
That's true, but until you get to Double Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not going to bring that up. People need to go read those.
Yeah. Once again, we mentioned the comic book stores. There we go. All right, cool. That was my last point there. So now you brought up, you know, Betty Ross, right? I know you had your list of four, but we didn't talk about it. It wasn't a list of four, but she's very important within this Gamera play, Shakespearean play, if you want to look at it. So go ahead, Larry. Let's talk about Betty's first transformation.
First and latest, to be honest, because which is Harpy. And why would she be turned into Harpy? Well, let's see. She's in a marriage that's bad. Let's be honest. He's either ignoring her, or he's overly, or he's running away. It's just, you know, she can't deal with this dissociative thing. And she's basically feeling she's like a, well, what do you call a wife that is basically treats her husband mean. A harpy.
Again, the correlations are if people are not catching, making sense. Stuff is just making sense now. It's like, that's, wow. Please continue.
Yeah. Now, Red She-Hulk, I'm going to have to say that's something dealing with the leader causing transformations weirdly.
Exactly. But the harpy now here's the thing is, once again, I didn't do any research on this. So, I know the harpy, but maybe you might have a little bit more insight on this, Larry. Do you know any backstory of the harpy in the sense of why she was created or how she was created? I mean, clearly it was Betty Ross for the whole time. And all right, so we're going to have to dig deep and put something up there. But clearly the harpy made her first appearance. She's fighting the Hulk. And, depending on how they could have written that, to your point, she's a harpy. She's always harping on him. Where are you at? Why are you this? You don't talk to me. We don't do this. We don't do that. Right? And it's almost like nagging the Hulk. So here she is as literally a harpy and fighting. Physically, the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if they would have gone on the same page?
Yeah.
Right? Because if they would have gone on the same page at one point, that there is the Gamma family. If you want to look at it for half a second,
wow.
Bruce Banner, Hulk, father figure.
Right.
Betty Ross, Betty. Harpy, right?
Mother figure.
Right? Rick Jones.
Rick.
Oh, he's had multiple Gamma. And not only has he had multiple Gamma situations, but he's also been involved with superheroes in ever since. I mean, starts with the Hulk, goes to Captain America, Captain Marvel. Who else? I mean, he's been connected to almost everyone in the Marvel universe in some way.
Yeah.
Now
he's a better version of Snapper Carr.
Yeah. I mean, his latest version is kind of like a. Kind of like a Jesus version of a gamma radiated creature.
Yep. So, and that's why I said, so he starts off his journey with Rick Jones. And now that's the only thing that, Bruce Banner. So when he starts off, I mean, clearly Bruce Banner runs out issue number one, gets him off like, what are you doing? We're testing bombs. Oh, I'm out here because I made a bet with my buddies and I'm playing guitar because I want to look cool or whatever. Yep. And Bruce saves him. Okay, this is what starts the whole thing. So there's this whole kind of symbiote relationship with him where Rick realizes, hey, he saved me, but because of it, he didn't die. He's been cursed for life, henceforth the Hulk. Is Rick Jones seen as a equal to Bruce Banner in a sense of, is he seen as a brother figure, or does he look at Bruce as a father figure? Because at times it's written a little bit differently. And I'm talking, when we first meet Rick, we know he's younger, got it, doesn't know anything about life. And as he's gotten older, and of course, you're taking over the role at Bucky at one point. So you're trained by Captain America. You get the Nega Bands. So you swap places with Captain Marvel. You've now got access to the Avengers. He's the only one of the non-human prominent people out there. He was written as a heartthrob kind of thing to kind of get the teenagers to say, hey, we can see ourselves in Rick Jones. And Rick Jones is able to hang with Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, the Avengers, the Hulk, Captain Marvel. He's got Earthbound Avengers, Cosmic Avengers. Like, we see ourselves as the Rick Jones when we're in there, and that's how it was written earlier.
He has latent psychic powers.
Oh, so okay, all right.
I mean, he Kree-Skrull War.
Yeah.
He actually recreates the 1940 characters to help fight.
And there's a whole 12-issue, I can't remember, I think it's Avengers Forever was a 12-issue series which was focused around Rick Jones.
Yep.
And once again, the artist was, and I can't remember his name, but he's the same one that did the early issues of Excalibur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I love that artist, Davis. I'm terrible. But yes. So go to your comic book stores.
Yeah.
So that's my question. So would you see Rick Jones as a, in this paradigm, would you see Rick Jones as the, child of these two characters of how it was loosely written?
I think Rick varies in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, he starts out as the child. He starts out as the child who feels guilty about what he caused.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Bruce saves his life and turns into a monster. As far as everybody's concerned.
Right.
Then he grows into more equal character to Bruce, with various mutations and so on. I think the latest mutation, he's kind of an equal to Bruce. Abomination, A-Bomb.
A-Bomb, yeah.
A-Bomb. Yep. He was a child figure. He was the, you know, I'm the college student kid of the whole.
Right. Nice.
Yeah. So,
and of course, because he was an orphan himself. So him having that kind of father figure to look up at in his early years, mm-hmm. and being around Gamma Base and all the, and going. And I mean, look, what was his early life? Trying to protect Bruce Banner during the day, covering for him, trying to, you know, have the misdirect the army when they're looking for him. So when Thunderbolt Ross shows up, it's like, you see Bruce? Yeah, he went to get pizza, man. He's gone to get pizza. He went to get Twinkies. Did you see the Twinkies ad the Hulk is doing? He went to get Twinkies. No.
Nice.
Thank you.
So I hope you didn't cut out the stamp on the other side of that page.
Sacrilege. Sacrilege, but see, that's why I love this, as you know, the old school ads where you see Twinkies were everywhere, and they were doing these ads, you know, with all the heroes, and of course, you know, Marvel, DC, they got that in there, so that, good on them. You know, but yeah, so and the art was cool with those ads, so that was fun to read. Those are always little things I missed today in today's comics. We had Captain O on the comic book page. It had all these things you can order online. Yeah. And, you know, Hostess Twinkies had the Hulk and you know, Batman and all of them doing their ads within the comic book and fighting, you know. So the ones that stood out for me was the Hulk and Hawkman Twinkie ads, all right? So there you go. Look it up. Get your old issues at the comic book stores.
I'll tell you what I miss, though.
Yeah.
Back when you had the little thing at the bottom when it was that reference the issue that right. something they were talking about it.
Yeah, yes, so yes,
go back and look.
Absolutely. Editor-in-chief reference this issue. Okay, you go out and get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I miss now. You know, everyone's like used to pay more attention in the past of, okay, if this character was in this book like this month, obviously, he couldn't be used in this storyline. You had to get another character. So if you would read the whole thing of that character's arc, for example, classic Wolverine, you'd see Wolverine and X-Men and X-Factor and then teaming up with whoever, it would all make sense. Like, oh, this took place before this issue. This took place after that issue. Now, right. In this day and age, well, Wolverine, other mutant power is he has no sleep. He's an insomniac, so this is why he can be in everyone's book at the same friggin' time. Right? And that's his underlying power.
Second mutation.
Yeah, he can teleport, and clearly he doesn't sleep. He should be sponsored by Tim Hortons. Okay. So, you brought another character that I thought was also interesting, which was your second one was the leader.
Yep. Samuel right? Stearns.
Okay. This guy starts off as a janitor, jealous his brother's working there. His brother is, hey man, I work here. And he's like, yeah man, I clean up after my brother. I'm the custodian. Janitor? Okay, I'm the janitor at Gamma Base. Not knocking custodians out there, because hey, if you're happy doing that job, then do it. Be happy. That's all it is, right? There's no knock on that. You go in there, you do that, you walk out of there, and you work around with scientists without no headaches. Love it. But he wasn't happy in that role. So in his role, he was competitive with his brother. He wanted to be seen a certain way. And pretty much he went out and played with garbage, and he came back as a leader. So here's a side note, though. Do we ever hear about his brother the fact, like, whatever happened to his brother?
I don't think so. Oh yeah, wait, we do actually. His brother becomes a madman.
Oh okay. All right, learn something new every day. So there we go. Once again, those are stories waiting to be written. But so the leader turns around, and his whole thing was he wants to be smart. He wants to go from being custodian to being a genius, and with the help of, you know, gamma radiation, he achieves that. And then the first thing he does is he wants to go after the Hulk. You figure you're a genius. You could turn around and invent stuff, be it if it's formulas and theories or practical items, patent it, make money off of it, and live well. And the first thing he did was, aha, you see? Ha, 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 ha. Come on, Colonel Fury. You know, there's so many ways he could have gone if he gets this power. So pretty much, even though he wanted to be more intelligent, there's still a side of him that was nasty.
Right.
He goes, you give me super intelligence, let me tell you something. I'm going to make money legally and and pay my taxes and say, okay, that's good. Got this. No one's knocking at my door. I won't have Colonel Fury looking at my door saying, hey, you've been doing some stuff you shouldn't be doing. Uh-oh. And then you hear the theme music from Law and Order in the background. We're done.
Come, come. Come, come.
So, what? Okay. So, we see the MCU, how they did it on film. That's fine. It was interesting. I would still like to see their version of the leader come through. But what do you think the leader is, could be more than just a villain, so to speak? I know it's intelligence fighting strength or strength fighting intelligence. Do you think the leader could have been utilized more in a smarter, suave way, almost like Lex Luthor, where he fights Superman, but he also runs business at the same time?
That would be a good question. Because I think the leader's biggest problem is the jealousy of the Hulk. That's his biggest problem. He got over that. He could be, he could be like Reed Richards.
That's my point.
And patenting, and he could be patenting a bunch of things, and making millions of dollars. You know, or you know, working with SHIELD or whatever, and actually being a useful product. You even have other characters that are smart like that. I mean, heck, had a character I was just reading again, The Wizard. You know, you patent those flying discs and sell them. But,
right?
Yeah.
It just seems like every time, it just seems like, you know, like you're saying, why couldn't he have done anything proper, you know, with his intelligence, with his smarts? It shows that he was envious of his brother. He just had the mindset of being malicious. Like, he just cared about himself and just wanted to put himself on top. So you have an opportunity, but what's the, in my proximity, what is the most, what is on the top of everyone's conversation at this time? The Hulk. For me to be on top of their conversation, be at the tip of their tongue, to be relevant, I got to take out the number one. Number one conversation is the Hulk. So that's how I can look at it. That's the reason why. Like, he has the opportunity to better mankind, to better himself, whatever the case may be. But working at the base and everything like that, he wanted to outdo his brother. You know what? I'm smarter than my brother. Yeah, so my brother may be working in a gamma radiation base. He's smart enough to get there, but I'm smarter than him. So I've already passed that aspect. I took that off. I'm okay. I'm moving up the ranks. What's the next big topic around here? The Hulk. Francis.
Right.
I'm going to have to pass him too. So I'm going to dedicate my life. So dedicate everything I have, resources, into beating the Hulk. Making a public transfer of his saying that, hey, you saw who took down the Hulk? It was this guy here. The big brain. I took him down. I got the superior power. I have the power. Okay, I'll stop right there. Oh, yeah.
Jealousy.
That's all it is.
With jealousy. So he just got jealousy, and that just clouded his vision on what his potential could be. Because once again, because I like when different writers, artists get into it. So going back to that Todd McFarlane run, Grey Hulk got it. You know, the whole thing is they steal an RV, which is like don't to the nines. Which is, you know, Extreme RV, which is one of my favorite shows. Then we turn around. So he steals the RV. Betty Ross is involved, going across country. He's running from SHIELD at this point throughout the storyline. Other heroes crisscross. Him and Wolverine have another throwdown at one point, you know, and they actually talk it out after they physically beat the crap out of each other. And it was like, to finally, and the whole, you know, subplot was the leader, you know, was able to amass all these gamma bombs and wanted to release them in a town create other hulks that he can control.
Mm-hmm.
I think that to me was his real, you know, and Todd drew him a little bit differently. I liked how he drew him a little bit more menacing, gave him that mustache. You know, I think that to me, a storyline was one storyline that stands out for the potential of what, how evil, diabolical the leader could be. But I always hoped that he would do something like, if you ever watched the cartoon G.I. Joe Renegades,
right? Yeah.
Okay. So in G.I. Joe Renegades, you see that they're trying to, you know, that's a different version of G.I. Joe, which I enjoy. They're fighting Cobra Commander. So every time you see Cobra Commander appear on screen, air quotes, he's this nice looking guy. Hey, how you doing? I'm the leader of Cobra, you know, which is not an evil organization per se from the regular person's point of view. It's a industry like Amazon or whatever big company around at the time.
Yeah.
But when the camera goes off, you see his true look, where he has like a half mask that covers, you know, on an angle that covers part of his face. And that's the real Cobra Commander. And he's got, you know, he's making bio soldiers and weapons and all that, where the company is really like, hey, you should buy our apple pies. Cobra apple pies are the best. We've got pharmaceutical division and all that. I thought the leader should do something like that. Have a company be front facing. Of course, he's not going to use his own face, but he can make digital technology to make his old face or a persona online to, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm the leader of this company. As soon as the camera goes off, all right, what are we doing? Well, that's where the gamma bombs are. Let's get it. And that's where I think he could play in both worlds. He would be now, take him out of North America, worldwide. There's a lot of people that don't like the Hulk, and he could have amassed a fortune, have the resources, and even make it harder for the Hulk, that it would be cool to see a storyline where all three personas have to come out at individual times to deal with the leader, depending on what he's got to deal with at the moment. That's my two cents there.
So you want to you basically want a controlled Hulk transformation where he can basically pick who he turns
into
when he turns into.
Yeah, for a storyline, if he's got a deal, really go up. I mean, it's got to be the ultimate battle with the leader, like how we have Killing Joke with Batman, and that was supposed to be the Batman Joker story. The same thing with the Dark Knight Returns. That was the finale of Batman's story arc-ish. The first one I'm talking with Frank Miller and Joker and some of the other characters that Batman has dealt with over the years, Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. I think we need a hair down the walls moment between the leader and the Hulk. Like, let that be the storyline. Not World War Hulk. I enjoyed it, but that to me is not what a Hulk story should be. That's just a Hulk story, but a Hulk story should involve one of the people that you go back and forth with constantly from the beginning. And to me, one of them is the leader.
Okay. He says, yeah, that's his role. That's part of his role gallery. So you're going to, whenever you think of the leader, who's the opposition of the leader, the Hulk. So it makes a good sense for you to say, let's put those two together and see what comes out from that. That's not bad.
Yeah. Okay. That's going to deal with a lot of things psychologically, physically. You'll get your action, you'll get your intrigue, you'll get your storyline, and maybe they'll have a moment panel of dialogue or a page of dialogue that's actually sit there and it's like, why you always chase Hulk? And then say, well, and actually maybe air it a little bit more. Air it in a way that brings this whole thing, like a real well done Macbeth storyline to it. Like, that would be,
the leader is supposed to be the smartest one, at least in that sense. He's supposed to be the smartest one. So, why can't the leader not pick up that, you know, he's now doing research and all that kind of stuff? Like, I can't pinpoint the time frame, but I'm sure the leader was one of the earliest gamma ones. Yeah. So, in that sense, I'm going to say this. We're going to give him some extra little props and just, you know, give him some props on this sense that he's smart enough to be able to do whatever he has to do. He should have the ability to have access to resources, realizing of a different type of Goliath running around, a person changing at night, whatever the case would be. So he should have a documentary of knowing Joe Fixit, you know, all Gray Hulk, all the different personas, whatever the case be, knowing that as Bruce Banner, But let him be smart enough to start putting two and two together. Again, he's supposed to be smarter than the average bear. So we're going to say that he should be able to put two and two together and come with the Larry Colonel Fury theory and start putting that out and make people start thinking, huh, how can I beat the Hulk? Maybe I have to get him confused and find out how to see if he has the ability to switch personas and then basically have a weakness for each persona. That's when he started pulling in his Batman type of, what was it? Oh, at least with the theory, you know, the contingency plan. He has a contingency plan for each different version. That'll be his way of trying to take him out. So that'll be a great storyline, like you're saying. You know, let's have that conversation.
Well, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Either of you read Immortal Hulk?
Not really. I've read like maybe one or two issues. And yeah.
Okay.
Did they actually cover it?
See, you do know that the leader's dead at this point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In Immortal Hulk, you have something called the Green Door.
Okay.
Now, what the Green Door does is this is where the gamma radiated characters get reincarnated.
Oh.
Okay.
I got to read the series. I admit that.
Now, part of this is based on, of course, Banner's psyche in it. And, well, you have a disembodied leader as your main villain for a while. Pretty much going through exactly what you're describing.
Okay. All right.
Oh.
See? Okay.
You gotta read. It's not that long a series.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 24 issues, something like that.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And they go through this whole thing. Multiple characters get through it. You've got Harpy returns. Yeah. You've got Rick gets mutated twice.
Sure, why not? Why not, Rick? Why not?
Yes. you just got all of these characters. You've got Double Hulk shows up. You've got what's Bruce's father? Anyway, Bruce's father.
Okay, really? All right.
Yeah. So, Immortal Hulk.
Okay, see, I read like the first two issues, and I admit it, I didn't, you know, get further in it. I'm not saying because it was bad. It's just that it fell off my radar. That's all on me. But so much to read. I need to be retired and rich.
Tell me about it.
That's possible. Okay, so we almost talked about a storyline that already exists. All right, cool. But I still think something I would like to see play out more. I guess traditional. There we go. That's my I'll say that part on it. More traditional.
I'd like to see instead. I mean, it was a great story. But I like to see it actually happening in the real world as opposed to in the psyche and so on. And in this, what we call it, the gamma version of hell in the book. So there you go.
Nice. Nice. So now the next character we got to, it was Abomination.
Female.
Right. So now his backstory. He was kind of spying on Gamma Base. He wanted to be stronger than the Hulk. He kind of gets it for the Germans, you know, and goes Russians. Back and... Pardon me?
Russians?
Sorry, yeah. My bad. Russians. Sorry, didn't mean to follow people I shouldn't follow. It was the Russians. My bad. So it's called Russians. Okay, he's working for the Russian. Is he a Russian spy? So there's different aspects into where his storyline comes in. I think we've mentioned it before, but it'd be kind of cool that, one, he's a spy. Like, bottom line, he's a spy. We did an episode on the Abomination, but, you know, we'll go back. He's a spy. I would love to see more of the spy world involved in his antics before he becomes, to a certain degree, Abomination. Maybe even a miniseries of him prior, you know, him becoming Abomination, going back, how he infiltrated Gamma Base, how he infiltrated the test site, the identity came up with, and then maybe find out what their plans, maybe unused, were forgetting that formula, and then for him finally becoming the Abomination, and maybe seeing him on Black Op missions. It's like, not if he's not fighting the Hulk, then at times maybe he's back in Russia, or he's on American soil, he's on Canadian soil doing Black Op missions for the Russians that don't deal with the Hulk, but would bring in more of the spy aspect of it, right? So dealing more with, as I said, S.H.I.E.L.D. and how the S.H.I.E.L.D. fight the Abomination where they're not chasing the Hulk. You know, these are things that I'm just kind of throwing out there that I thought would be an interesting take to see and see how they handle it, because S.H.I.E.L.D. has got Stark technology. They've got their own. They've got the Mandroids, and they know, and they've got to deal with power levels of the Hulk and Thor. You know, within that world, Abomination himself, of course, and any other Hulk villain. So I thought it was always cool if they would have just gone the storytelling from a spy perspective point of view, Colonel Fury.
Well, I would love to see that from similar, but let's go before he gets the gamma base even.
Right.
And, you know, when he's working with Spetsna and so forth, and you could get, and just, you know, we'll call the series Blonsky, and you can have guest stars with the Black Widow because she hasn't turned yet.
No, okay.
You could have the Red Guardian.
Yes.
You could even have the early training of the Soviet super soldiers.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Absolutely. Vanguard, Dark Star.
Ursa Major, you know, Ursa Major would be an adult, Vanguard and Dark Star would be kids.
Mm-hmm.
And go from there.
Right. And then, you know, like, I mean, that one issue of the Super Soviet soldiers, it was like a one-shot special issue. I loved it. I read it. I loved it. It was a fun read. The art was good. The storytelling was nice. And it left me with one thing. I want more. Yeah. I wish they did a follow-up issue. I wish they did spin-off series. Not everything in the Marvel Universe happens in North America. Like, right. It's established they have heroes and villains worldwide. And this was such a great glimpse into that. You know, and of course, I mean, even the X-Men, you've got, you know, Nightcrawler, right, is German. Colossus is Russian. His family line, we covered Magic. So these are things that I think I would love to know more about Japan. I would love to know more about China and their heroes and villains. The same thing, as I said, Germany, Russia, you know, it's not just portray them all as villains. There's heroes on each landmass all over.
Every continent. Yep.
And outer space. You think S.H.I.E.L.D. is the only one that has a flying helicarrier? I'm sure the Russians and the Germans wouldn't be the only ones. Wouldn't let S.H.I.E.L.D. have the only one. I'm sure that Japan and, you know, and China would, you know, would be, oh, no. They're going to participate too, to have their own, you know,
version
of these things, right?
Right.
Like, I thought what's interesting was in the Black Widow movie, they're always looking for the Russian tea room. We always hear that in all these spy movies, the Russian tea room is where they train these agents and so forth. And when they were looking for it in the Black Widow movie, it's like, we can never find their headquarters. Why not? Why? And then you see this big thing come floating in the sky. And it's like, oh, they were in the clouds. At that moment, I was jumping for joy. I'm like, okay, finally, someone thought, hey, how come the Americans are the only ones that have it? Those are other superpowers with technology and heroes and villains of various powers. Right. They would do the same thing because they're looking at these people as weapons of mass destruction. You got a Hulk? We need a Hulk. You got a spy? We got a spy. You got a super soldier? We got a super soldier, right? Like, that's what it is to keep the balance, because if not, it tips.
Yep.
Okay.
You've got a God. We've got a God.
Yeah.
That's all it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. That's right. And then someone comes up with a sport.
Yeah.
But that's what I want to see. So for you know, Abomination, there's more than, okay, yeah, he wants to be the strongest, but there's more than just being stronger than the Hulk. It's being stronger for the Hulk because he's also a patriot to his own country. The classic, when he first came about.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I know they write the storylines and things change, but when he first came out, he was a patriot. So he's going to fight and believe what his government is telling him and do that to be the patriot to his native soil.
Right.
That's a, I know I go a little bit deep on these things, but that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. All good. All good. All good.
So what's your take on the Abomination? I know we've seen him once again. I like he was played in the MCU. Once again, there's a lot more layers. There's more meat on the bone, as we like to say, than what we saw.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've already, like I said that last time, like, yeah, there's a lot of different ways we can like find out his back history, what drove him like to be a soldier, you know, what compelled him to be a soldier, be so dedicated to it. And then realizes that I've given all the best I can, which is part of the whole scenario. I've given the best that I can and I'm still not good enough.
Yeah.
I can make it into the base. I can do whatever the case be. Well, I'm thinking the movie aspect of it, but if I go at least for the comics aspect of it, yeah, he was able to get into the base and everything along that line. But I want to know more about him. Like, what was his motive? Did he always feel comfortable to do what he can for his country? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what type of patriot was he? Let's find out some more.
And fast forward, as you mentioned, you know, Ursa Major, Vanguard, Dark Star,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Why is he not joining them at one point? Like, there is a team in itself. Because let's be real, if something happens on their native soil, they're not reaching out to the Americans going, hey, can you guys send over the Avengers? We're having an issue. That's the last thing they're going to do. They're going to say, 100%. Who do we have that can deal with that just as good as the Avengers so we can raise our national, you know, stock, so to speak. And it's like, oh, this big affair happened in Russia. We don't need nobody. Look at our heroes. You don't need to go and look at Iron Man and Captain America and Thor. We've got our own. And how does that play out with the government? And of course, there's some spy dealings, right? Because not everything is on the up and up. And I mean, I'm not saying that just because it's Russia. That's everywhere. You don't think,
oh, come on,
FBI, yeah. CIA, there's spies 100%. On, you know. Every nation has their spies.
You're a powerhouse. You're a powerhouse nation. You have to have be able to do. You have to be able to handle your own.
Of course,
we have resources.
Everyone's got a Wilson, like in Home Improvement. Everyone has a Wilson that's looking over the fence to see what the other guy is doing.
There he is. Oh. Heidi ho, neighbor.
Right. So now this brings us to the last person that you mentioned on your list, Larry, out of the four. I know we've been talking a lot, but so now it brings us to Doc Samson. Well, yep. What's everyone's take on Doc Samson as a character?
I didn't like Doc Samson many years ago. I've grown to like him now. Now, of course, he's trapped in the Wendigo body. That's a right. whole weird story. but yeah. As he grew on me, because he went from this jealous guy who wanted to be as strong as the Hulk. And also wanted to take Betty from the Hulk at the time, or from Bruce. And into a more full-rounded character.
Right.
Is the best way I can put it.
Yeah, because my first earlier edition, when I started reading him, I mean, first he came out in that costume, right? So it's got the costume with the lightning bolt, he's got the green hair, he's got the boots and everything. Doc Samson. I'm like, oh, geez, this is like Doc Savage. All right, I'm good with either one. Let's see what you can do. And you see what he's got going on. And then you read more about the character, and I felt like he was... When you know you read the old school comic books, when I say old school, I'm talking, you know, comics in the 70s, 80s, and you're opening, you see the ad, and you have that one ad of, you know, the skinny guys at the beach, then you have the other guy who's all buff and he's kicking sand.
Yeah.
He's like, get away here. Look how strong I am. Look at my muscles.
Yeah, that's Charles Atlas.
Yeah, thank you. Charles Atlas. Right. So that ad where you see the guy kicking sand. I felt that was Doc Samson. Doc Samson was the guy kicking sand on Bruce Banner to impress Betty Ross to show off his muscles. Like, his only motivation was to get Betty. And then when he couldn't get Betty, he was a little bit of a womanizer, through the Marvel mm-hmm. universe. That's, and I'm like, well, why should I feel any sympathy for you? You always seem to be snarky. Like, you deserve a slap. Like, Hulk should really smack you a lot more. Now, of course, when John Byrne started writing the series, when Bruce and the Hulk were separated and drawing it at one point, I'm like, okay, now we're getting a little bit more depth with the character from that storyline. But every time it's like, look, I'm as strong as a Hulk, you see? And then Hulk just said, Hulk angry, Hulk smash. And then would knock Samson out and walk away.
Hilarious.
Yep. Hold on, Larry, you're on mute. I didn't hear you.
What do you mean?
Oh, I missed the mouth. He's Doc Sasquatch now.
He's Doc Sasquatch. He's right. Because I know that. And that's another thing we got to cover at one point. The Alpha Flight, the beauty of it, how it started, and now how I see it, I'm like, oh, really? You did Canada that way? Yeah. Did Canada kind of dirty, Marvel.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to bring it back to glory. But so, Doc Samson, once again, different perspective. If I had to do it, I would like to see Doc Samson played out in maybe a Disney Plus series, real short, you know, or even a spotlight. Give him a spotlight. Give him a spotlight and 5 episodes on Doc Samson because there's more to him. And I think we need to have more to him to say, hey, you're in the world of the Hulks. You have degrees. You're smart. You got to deal with your own, I guess, demons.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kind of run your mouth a little bit, and then when you get into such situations, it's like, well, you said you were strong as a Hulk, but the Hulk just beat you. Lucky punch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sucker punch. I had tacos that day, and I was kind of full, and I had the runs. I get no respect. No respect.
Well, hey, I'm still stronger than you.
Hang on.
I'm still stronger than you.
Let me grow my hair out and I'll be back in a year.
Hilarious.
So, and that's the thing. So his name's Samson. He's got the long hair. The hair gets longer. He gets stronger. Is that more a real telling, or do you think that's more a psychological thing at the time?
I think it's a subconscious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because if you're strong, you're strong, you know?
Yeah, but if you also look at your biblical, you have the fact Samson was a lady killer.
Ah, huh? Huh?
True.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Right? Testify. So do you think that Samson, because I, now, once again, I'm going to go back into gray matter here. Sometimes we know it's a little bit soft. I believe that Doc Samson was in the Incredible Hulk movie with Eric Bana. Very briefly, because he had Betty Ross in there that was played by Liv Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy, I believe, was Doc Samson. He never got the powers, but I believe he had the name of Dr. whatever Samson.
Dr. Leonard Samson.
Yeah.
Right.
I think you're right. He was in there.
He was there.
He was the guy that she was dating.
Exactly. Who was in that TV series, not Home Improvement. It was where there's three different families. The guy from the Bundys.
Oh, Modern Family.
Modern Family. Right. So he played, you know, one of the characters in there, Modern Family, throughout the whole series. He was Doc Samson, but he was Doc Samson, but he wasn't Doc Samson. Like, he never hit that level. Because they never explored that story arc with him. So he was there, but he was almost like a toss-away character at that point.
Right.
I think I would like to see, if the character is represented in the books, bring him back some form of way to show the transition into him becoming what we see in the books, right? Like, Leonard Samson starts off one way. That's cool, but let him come with the green hair at some point.
Right. I think they had him there as a quick cameo, mm-hmm. and it was like, okay, we can bring this character later if we get like a second, third movie. And then, you know, when they rebooted, they just dropped him.
Yeah. Like, I think he should have shown up at least in the She-Hulk miniseries. The She-Hulk series on you know, Disney Plus. Yeah, I Disney think that would have been a smart way, in my opinion, to bring him in.
Yep.
But cameo.
Maybe they could have done it. Maybe they could have planned that for the second one. But since they're not getting a second one, but that could have been something to add in for the second.
Yeah, but, he could have been Blonsky's psychiatrist. It would have been a perfect intro.
Like I said, it would have been Thank perfect you. For the second one. It would have been perfect for a second one. Definitely right? would have because been perfect for a second one.
Perfect for a second one, and just like you said, Larry, you would have been perfect for to be Blonsky's psychiatrist in there.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
it would have explained more why he went from "I'm the Abomination" to "Hey, man, I'm pretty cool."
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
And in a positive light. All right, there we go. See, mental health. Now, we've got to mention this character. I know we're getting to the end of your list, Larry. We're coming up on time, but we got to get at least to this one character that we just briefly mentioned, She-Hulk.
Hey.
She's gamma radiated.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Blood transfusion, regardless how you look at the MCU or issue number one of She-Hulk and how she made her appearance. So, you know, Jennifer becomes a She-Hulk. She goes from a wallflower, how they portray her, mm-hmm. into this, you know, sex symbol. Everyone's like, they see Jennifer and they're like, "Oh, hey Jen, how you doing?" She turns to She-Hulk, "Yo, what's happening, Jen? How you doing?" And she's reciprocating. She's like, "Hey, how you doing?" Right? Yeah. Like, okay, so she's obviously Bruce Banner's cousin. It's the closest person in family that Bruce has that he's open with. He's more, how it portrays, he's more open with Jennifer than he was with Betty. They have that long family history. She understood that he was abused. She always tried to be the ear for him to talk to, the shoulder that he can lean on. She tried to always be his pillar. And I know when they brought her over is because, and they started off the She-Hulk persona. It was really Marvel saying, "Holy crap, we went through a whole thing with Wonder Man, Wonder Woman, Power Man, Girl. We got to make sure that we keep this one in the house. We can't let DC have a She-Hulk, right? We got to use that name because everyone was doing, you know, writing, you know, she after or woman after and before or woman after the name. I mean, they didn't want, you know, DC to have a Spider Woman. So right. with the popularity of the Hulk TV series with Lou Ferrigno, Bill Bixby, it's like, oh, geez, we see DC looking over. Hey, we're doing a She-Hulk.
No.
We'll submit that next week. Rats.
Right? Right? Quick grab, but. Because of that, phenomenal character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of what series.
It just reminded me of the What If episode issue with the gag in it of what if Power Man was a girl and Wonder Woman was a man.
Or right? Wonder Woman
was a woman. Yeah. So.
Exactly. So this is what it is. So that's what the real world was about it. But She-Hulk as a character coming up, once again, was it a quick grab? Was it, okay, Hulk, she changes. But I like the fact that she's a lawyer. She's always been there for Bruce. Origin story involved her being a lawyer, going after, I'm talking the issue number one of Sensational She-Hulk. You know, the mafia Savage. Tries to do a hit on her.
Pardon Savage. Oh.
Sorry, Savage. Savage She-Hulk, you're right, sorry. So Savage She-Hulk goes in, hit squad from, you know, the mafia. She almost dies. Bruce sees her. Oh, man, I shouldn't do this, but it's the only way to do it. Blood transfusion. She seems okay. Mm-hmm. But Gus is still around. Yeah. Hey, Jen, what's going on? And then she goes to Savage She-Hulk. But she retains all her faculties.
Right.
No, not at first. Not at first.
Not at first, right. The first couple of ones, literally, she was Savage She-Hulk. But she quickly is more advanced than Bruce in the fact that her personalities merged, right? Yep. She was able to have full conversations. She started off first couple issues as Savage She-Hulk, and then she was very quickly Jennifer Walters in a Hulk body.
Yep, right.
Then she had her relationships, and she's good. Mm-hmm. And they portrayed that in the series, the Disney series. Some people didn't like it, but if you read the John Byrne run on She-Hulk, you would see how that really mirrored it one to the other.
Yeah.
Right.
With now, the, you know, breaking the fourth wall. And that's another thing. And you know, her humor. So what do you think of, you
why?
Know?
That's
yeah, why? Let's go through why. Yes. Yeah.
and they touched on this in an Avengers comic. She's sleeping with Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he says something about her promiscuousness. Now, she's sleeping with him as Jennifer, not as She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, pisses her off, but also makes her feel shame. And they actually said in it that shame is what really kicks in her her transformation.
Mm.
Because she goes from Jennifer, like I said, she's sleeping with Hawkeye as Jennifer. He says something about her being promiscuous. She gets upset and she transforms, but she doesn't transform into she doesn't exactly transform into the sensational She-Hulk with the lawyer brain.
Mm.
She gets a little more savage. And you go from but the neat thing is you go from the scene of the two of them laying in bed together, Jennifer and Clint, and then the next scene you see is Clint flying through the broken door into the hallway of Avengers Mansion. And then you see her running out, basically with the sheet around her, and screaming her head off. She's not quite fully savage, but she's real close.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But
I respect it. Her power is cool.
It's shame.
It's shame. So anytime she feels shame is when she turns into She-Hulk or what fuels her more. It's not an anger thing. It's a shame thing.
Yep,
so
right.
Almost the worse she feels or the more shame she feels, the stronger she gets.
Yeah.
But she's got more control over it than, as I said, than her cousin, Bruce. You know, she's able to grasp the control. She's able to change at will. She's able to turn it on and off like a light switch. It's almost like what, you know, how they portray him when Mark Ruffalo portrays him in the MCU, where he says, hey, how can you turn into the Hulk all the time? What's your secret? He's like, you want to know what my secret is? It's because I'm always angry. Oh, crap. Like, so that says a lot. And another aspect I liked of this character, I'm not sure where this kind of started. I'm not sure if it was the John Bryan run or prior to that, is she can break the fourth wall. She can see the readers. She can see what's happening. Well, they did portray it in the series. They did, and she, out of all the Hulks, she does it. But it's almost like a secondary power where she's able to see, as I said, break the fourth wall. Is she able to see if she concentrates into other realities? That I don't know.
Well, let's look at, am I still here?
Yeah, you're here.
Clear.
Okay. Let's look at the fact that there's a power nobody talks about with the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
He can see ghosts. He can see astral forms.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be another dimension?
That's true. That is very true. And this brings me back to something else I said before, like unrelated, right? I remember I was talking to my wife, and people are talking about, okay, well, I can see spirits. I can see, you know, literally we all know the line. I see dead people.
Yeah. Right.
It's usually younger, you know, kids, young adults that have that, are able to see those things more. And as you go older, I'm not sure if it's more of a mental thing where your brain tells you, no, you're not open to it. So you kind of close off to it. So when you have like people who are our age, full adults, who still have those psychic abilities, can see the other side, can see spirit, those are the rare few because generally speaking, they all see it as kids. I think we've, you know, everyone is more open to it as kids. And that almost goes back to the Hulk, because the Hulk being a childlike mind, I'm talking green classic Hulk being a childlike mind, would still have that openness to seeing dead people.
Yeah, right. I have a rule that I tell everybody with younger kids. It's like, never tell them there's no such thing as fairies.
Mm-hmm.
but
because their minds are open to it. And that's, and keep in mind, we only use 10% of our brain. Throughout our whole lives, we use what, 10% of our brain power. The other 90%-ish, some people a little bit less, some people, you know, but that's it.
I see brain dead people.
Yeah. but the other 90% is untapped potential. What's happening up here? Yeah, besides keeping the engine and everything running subconsciously, what else is going on that we haven't tapped into? So that's, you know, those are some deep thoughts and conversations there. I think Jennifer Walters as a Hulk, I liked the series. It was represented of the John Byrne run. So if people didn't like it, it's because you didn't read the book.
Yep.
I would love to see more. I know the big ending was almost to what fans wanted who watched these movies was anticlimactic. It wasn't a big throw down, bang out, destroy everything. But if you read She-Hulk, that's what it was.
She is. Yeah.
That's how she was. That was where they based it off of, and they wanted to give a different take on it. Now, her breaking and seeing the fourth wall, I think she was doing that before Deadpool. Even though Deadpool was more popular for it, it was She-Hulk that was doing it first.
Yeah.
And her mental state was shame. So that's something she's never dealt with, you know, in her own way. She deals with it. And so she always wants to be portrayed a certain way. Now, because of that, she always wanted to get men attention. She wanted to be seen by men a certain way. That's another part of her psyche, right? It's written in there. So she would always be She-Hulk to be more confident. She had the curves physically. And then mentally, she had more of that confidence of being She-Hulk. She wasn't the shy little, I want to hide in the background. She was 7 feet tall, green.
Yep. Outgoing.
Outgoing. She walked with her head up. A lot of pride, a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite relationships with her was her and Juggernaut.
Yeah. But she became a player. I mean, Wyatt Wingfoot, Hercules. You know, she was always sleeping with all these guys.
Yep.
And, you know what? Again, it goes to like we were saying earlier about the personas. Like, you know, she was shy, so now we're just doing the opposite. Being very outgoing, very forward, you know. Instead of being very retreat, being an introvert, she's being an outrovert. She basically is saying, instead of second guess or second thinking herself, she's now realizing, listen, the thoughts in my head, I'm doing it. Do it.
Yeah.
Just go right ahead.
But she became a player. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. But she had some great storylines. I mean, get out of that. Past that, when she took over the role of the Thing in the Fantastic Four, I thought that was a great storyline. Once again, John Byrne behind that. Mm-hmm. You know, her, Jason Wingfoot, having that relationship, I thought it was cool. It'd be cool to see a nice ending for She-Hulk. And what I mean by nice ending, if you read, you know, Old Man Logan, you realize that, you know, the Hulk gang kids, how they came to be. Ouch. No.
Yeah.
So, but would it be interesting to see her have a character that would become a mom at one point? Because I think that's something she'd be open to, you know, and I'm not trying to put her in a traditional role, but it would still be interesting for her to finally say, hey, you know, I've had my fun. I found a guy. I've settled down. We're having kids. Let's go forward with the family dynamic and see how that plays out there. And it's like, hey, mom, how's Uncle Bruce? Well, you know, depends which day you call him.
Yeah. Better than what they've done recently with her basically being a troll and a dumb one at that.
Yeah, no. You don't got to be shocking these stories. I didn't like that one. I just saw how they were drawing her as a troll. I'm like, really? Nah. Yes. That doesn't speak to the character's core.
No.
I think that was more shock line story wise as opposed to character core. But that is it, though, man. I love this subject, so yeah, we got to do something like this similar again. I mean, there's so many we can look at from Fantastic Four, as you mentioned before, Larry. I think the Spider-Man, you know, when I say the Spider-Man, I mean talking the Spider-Man mythos and how those characters tie together.
Their universe.
I think these are things we should revisit, just like power-wise, psyche-wise, and anything along those lines, you know. Yep. That I don't think get enough light on it. So, or
well, I want to go over the weapons program, so that would definitely get into it.
That's right. Because a lot of people was like, Weapon X. No, he was Weapon 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And who's Weapon 3? And who's Weapon 4?
All right.
Oh, man, I can't remember offhand.
We know who Weapon 13 is.
Oh, Yep. Yep.
But we don't know exactly. Okay, where does the Hulk fit in there? That's actually a weapons program. Where does
100%? Yeah.
Where does Man Thing fit in?
Yeah.
Quick question.
Get in depth.
Quick question. Kind of going back to the Hulk, and I will cut after this.
Yeah.
But you don't have to even answer it now. We know because you brought up Barry. You brought up about Old Man Logan, and then it dawned on me. I don't immediately recall, and anybody can explain it, you know, bring it in the chat, put it in the comments below. Where's She-Hulk?
You don't want to know.
Let's just put it this way. An old man story, Logan line. There's a gang calling running around called the Hulks, right? Which are kids of Bruce Banner Hulk. Let's just say the only person that can have a child of the Hulk is someone that has similar powers. So that person is his cousin.
Got it.
Ding 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 ding.
Yeah, it's West Virginia storyline.
Got it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you don't see her, but let's just say all those Hulks that are running around. The gang of Hulks.
You know what? You're right. Now I think I vaguely remember it now because they didn't see her. That's why my mind, I don't remember seeing a Hulk, seeing She-Hulk in the future.
You see the baby. I'm not sure if they showed her real quick in the issue, but she died. But let's just say she gave a birth. She birthed all the Hulks.
Right.
And if Bruce is the father, she's the mother. And let's just say it wasn't her idea to be so. Okay.
Right. Good task.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's why I said a nice ending for She-Hulk. Not that that ending was too rough. But on that note, gentlemen, thank you for joining us again for another episode of the Iconist Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Barry3D, along here with the one and only
Rod C.
And we are joined by the man, the mystery, Colonel Fury, a.k.a. Larry Reclusado. He's running a black cloth mission right now. Don't ask no questions.
Right.
Cool.
Can't tell no lie.
Exactly. This has been a very interesting episode, really getting deep into the thought process of gamma radiation and psyche. This is awesome. Thank you so much for this, Larry. Thanks for joining us. And as I always say, this whole episode was created by pencil, a piece of paper, and lots of imagination. Keep on dreaming. Route.
Hulk smash. The
spinach count as gamma radiation, and it's Popeye.
Maybe kill. Kale.
Kale. Popeye one. All right, here we go.
Kale might do it.